This is Tom Warren inviting you to listen to 5 Gospel Minutes. For the past several days, we've been studying the living message of the book of Job, one of the great books of the Old Testament. By that I mean, what does the book of Job have to say to those of us who are living today? What does it have to say to you and to me as to how we can live it in our daily lives? We've pointed out that the book raises 6 basic questions, and we're now on the last one, which is, can a mere man be a true judge of God's creative activity? This really raises the question as to whether a mere human being can have the wisdom, in fact, to sort of project himself out into space and stand on some platform so that he can observe God as he creates and stand in judgment on God as to whether he should or should not have created the world as an environment in which man is to live, and whether he should have created man and put him in an environment in which it would be possible for man to suffer. Thus, I'm saying to you today that it's foolish for any man to assert, first, that God ought not to have created the world. It's foolish for any man to say that God ought not to have created man. And third, that if God punishes any person eternally, then he is not really perfect and thus not really God. All of these are foolish notions. Only God can know if he should have created. Only God can know if he should punish any man eternally. Only God can know the real meaning of sin. Only God can know what sin really deserves. It is only God who can know what price had to be paid in order for man to be brought out of his sin, namely the gift of his precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the shed blood by which we can be saved. Only God can know that because of our sin, we actually deserve to be punished eternally. So in this section of our study, that is of the book that we now have under consideration, God makes it clear to Job and to all other men who may read the book that while man may properly exercise his mind in the attempted solution to many questions, it is simply beyond man's ability and prerogative to question whether God's creative activity, including God's right of disposition of what he had created, including the eternal disposition of wicked men, is proper or right. Now another question. Actually, this is not a question raised, but rather a submission by Job to God's true place in the scheme of things. Here we find Job admitting that there are limits to what man can do by way of questioning or raising questions about God's creative activity. Notice this carefully in chapter 42, verses 1 through 6. God, in effect, says that man cannot fully explain even the things which he finds in the world. How then could he expect to be able to come into such knowledge as would enable him to question God's creative activities as explained above? God raises the question for Job, "Will you condemn me in order that you may justify yourself?" It should be noted that God has not directly answered Job's question about his, that is, God's justice and implied goodness, but God presents himself as omnipotent, all-powerful, and omniscient, that is, all-knowing, all-wise. From this truth, that is, of the fact that God is all-powerful and all-knowing, Job is expected to deduce that he, Job, can trust in God to act perfectly on every occasion in regard to everything that may be involved. And friends, this means more to each one of us than I possibly could explain. We must come to that point in life that we can trust God because we know he is perfect. He is perfect in love, in power, and knowledge. He will always do that which is right. So we have no right, we have no grounds upon which to question God whether he is right in allowing man to live in a situation in which he can suffer. Our time is gone for today. I'm so glad you've been with us. I hope you'll be back tomorrow. Until then, may God bless and keep you, is my sincere prayer.